Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day. Grace, we're excited for the ones that are here today with smiles on their face and eager to learn the Word of God, and we also ones that's watching us on our YouTube channel and website. We hope that this is being edifying to you, and we encourage you to come and visit us if you can. At least give us a note, text us or email us and see how you are. And also, with that being said, number 13, how great thou art. And we'll sing three verses. So which one wants to go to church today? 1, 2, and 4 or 1, 2, and 3? Which, y'all let me know. 1, 2, and 4. We can do that. Oh Lord my God, when I am in awesome wonder, consider all the works thou hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, the power art thou, the universe display. Then sings our soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing in the trees. And I look down from lofty mountain glander, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art.
There you go.
And when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I sacred can't it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. And sing my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Amen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Genesis chapter 3, we're in lesson 29.
in the book of Genesis. As we work through this, we always say we like to take our time. We've got between now and the catching away to get through this. So I'm no big hurry. I hope you're no big hurry. But the thing is that we studied the Word of God and we studied the way it is. We are in a Genesis study. Verse 17, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of thou which was taken, out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now, verse 17, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of the wife, you see there's a problem there, right? He failed. Adam failed to be her protector before the fall and protect her from the, you know, the slew foot and from her listening. He should have came in, should have came up there and said, "Hush up, get behind me, Satan, and get out of here." That's what he should have done. And afterwards, he failed to be, since then, he failed to be the priest. Now, God made Adam be the prophet, priest, and king, same as he did David, same as he did his son. And he failed to bring her to repentance and faith. Okay? What does repentance mean? What does repent mean? Change your mind. Whatever you're thinking there, you're going to change it and do the other way. And if Adam would have done that, what he ought to have done as a prophet, priest, and king, he would have been her priest and brought her to the Lord and found redemption for her. And they, you know what they wasn't working on? You and I today, when we make decisions and things in front of us, what are you operating on? Not only faith, but doctrine. They wasn't working on sound doctrine. Adam and Eve wasn't. And the result is that the ground was cursed. And the ground that was so abundantly brought forth for man is cursed. They was in the garden. They had it all. And he, now in sorrow he is to eat and make his living. What else? Painful labor. And that's what the word means. It's going to be painful work. But many of us knows what that means, don't we? Many of you have worked painfully to provide. Some of you may not have had the luxury of hoeing corn or tobacco or picking cotton, beans, whatever the case, whatever you had to do with apples, whatever it may, whatever. Many of you may not understand that. Many of you may not understand the fact that you work for 25 cents an hour, $2.50 a day. That was painfully. And if you had bills on top of that, it was worrisome. Verse 18, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb in the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." You see, we live in a, what kind of creation we live in right now? A sin-cursed world. Curse is the ground for thy sake. Go to Romans chapter 8. Hold your finger there and go to Romans chapter 8. You don't want to miss this. We live in a cursed creation. We live in a fallen creation. Thorns and thistles. Are they good things when you're walking through a field? Are they a good thing when you got that garden over there and it looks beautiful? Next thing you know, you turn your head and leave it for a week. What happens? Weeds, thorns, thistles. I walked through many of pasture fields and fields going to the rivers and creeks and stuff like that, and there's certain plants in there will just grab you up and slice you. And you're like, what in the world just happened? Speaking of which, you know what nitrogen does for plants and foods, right? What does it do? Well, that enriches the field. You know, there's certain people out there don't like that going in your ground these days. They're trying to control nitrogen and stuff. So that's a food supply, right? So guess what? Brother Allen, I was talking to Brother Allen Chestnut, and he's a big farmer out there. He says science, and this might be the good part of science, has found out that there's nitrogen in the air. Okay? And there's plants on this earth already that draws nitrogen out of the air and feeds that plant and they grow. So they're looking at technology, or I know you don't like GMOs and stuff like that, but if they can figure out how that plant can draw nitrogen out without putting it in the ground, that may be a good thing, maybe a bad thing. I looked at him, I said, Alan, that sounds like them plants down in the jungles that would wrap around you and eat you alive. You know, they're alive. And he started laughing about the fact. But the ground is cursed here, isn't it? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Not only is man cursed, but creation itself is cursed about us. The world about us is cursed because of our sin. It's out there. Verse 18, Romans 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subject the same in hope. Who is the one who is subject the creation and the creature in creation about us to vanity? And made the creation itself subject to hope. Think what I just said. Who is the one who subject the creation and the creature in creation about us to vanity, and made the creation itself subject to hope? Did God did God when he cursed the man sake? What is it? What is the hope there? What is the hope? God cursed this for man's sake. Okay, so what's the hope? What is it? For the thorns out there, the thistles?
No, well, the hope would be for the world to be back to the way it was.
Look at verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You see, in the kingdom, he is going to take that curse off of creation. Not just man. That Redeemer's coming to redeem all of creation. Years ago, I did a study on, you know, about the trees. And I did a top line with the different type of trees. And what made me think about it said, and the trees clapped their hands. And I'm like, these trees are alive? It's creation. All the creation is going to be given to glory to God. So all that's going to lift. And both the animal and vegetation creation. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. They're out there, I don't want to say complaining, they're groaning. They're trying to get through this. They're looking for hope too. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and preach to a thorn bush, but God's going to redeem all creation because it's the fall. And the kingdom hasn't come, and they're still, and we are, still groaning and travailing. Do you know why there's sorrow? Do you know why there's tragedy? Do you know why there's difficulty and heartache in the world? We just read it. It's sin.
Are you going to answer the first question?
Are you questioning me?
Yeah, I'm taking
What was the first question?
Who is verse 20 speaking of? Is it Adam or Satan?
I just told you.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
God did when he cursed it for man's sake. That's what he was the one that subject creation to this. He's the one that subject mankind to this because of man's sin. Okay? Sin what done it. You get an A for a question, Jerry. Just joking. Anyway, we're just having some fun here. So the thing is, it's serious. Creation is serious. And the curse of Adam's sin, that's why. Okay? That's why we are in tragedy. That's why we are in turmoil. That's why we are in headaches. That's why nothing seems to go right in this world. You put your faith in this world, it's going to fail you, isn't it? You know, we saw that a couple times ago about 1 John chapter 2, about the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You put your faith in that world system out there, it's going to fail you. And so when some terrible things happen in the world, earthquakes, hurricanes, and insurance company says what? It's the act of God. In other words, they're trying to get out of paying you. You know, they're going to blame God. No, it's an act of man's sin. That's what it is. And you better be thanking God that in the age of grace or one of those things might be an act of God. You with me? God, there's acts of grace, always been acts of grace, but we're in a dispensation of grace. And that might be a good thing to think about. Hey, we caused this problem. When I think about what's going on in this system out there and these children being sucked in on all this stuff, we did this. You and I and our parents, human, did this. We've been lackadaisy on some things. Oh, it ain't going to affect me. It has affected you. Because even if you don't have no kids no more, you're paying for it one way or the other. And we live in the age of grace. God doesn't do that today. As far as causing calamity. I remember what Hurricane Katrina, all them homosexuals down there in New Orleans, that's why God was doing that. I'm like, oh, really? You know, what about the saved people down there? That type of thing. You read about what's going on in the world today, you think about Sodom and Gomorrah. You better be thankful that we live in the age of grace and that there's a chance that they can get out of that stuff. You know, God's not causing that stuff. He's not imputing their trespasses unto them. Is that what your Bible says in the Pauline epistles? Not imputing trespasses as sins? He has declared amnesty to them and offers a reconciliation through who? His Son. Yes, amen. His Son. But you understand that isn't always how He's going to be. And you see people today, God isn't out there inflicting judgment on man. You and I put judgment on man. The judgment that they had in times past is nowhere near what He's doing in time but now. In ages to come, it's going to be just as bad. Everybody's going to die, whether you like it or not. Even if you got even if He took you away today, your body's going to die. He's going to give you a new body, and you're all going to be judged. I'm going to be judged. If I'm lost, I'm going to be judged at the great white throne, be cast in the lake of fire. If I'm saved, I get judged at the Bema Seat of Judgment. He takes me out here. I don't get placed in the lake of fire. We're all going to be judged, and we can judge each other in a way. And the natural consequences of sin does it through. And that isn't in the verse. You see, in sorrow and all kinds of things, the only way to fix the curse of creation is what? What's going to fix this curse out there? Not believe in Christ. Well, we can believe in Christ, and we're still out there in that sin-cursed world. The second coming of Jesus Christ is what's going to have the creation itself delivered into the glorious liberty of the sons of gods, and that won't happen until He comes back. That's what we read. They're still out there groaning. All of creation. Are you part of creation? Aren't you groaning, moaning, and like, Lord, please come quickly. I'm tired of this. You know, I'm tired of this. Until verse Romans 8:23, we ourselves groan within ourselves. We groan right along with creation. So we shouldn't get bent out of shape on this, should we? You get sick, you get hurt, don't you? You know, my kneecap has got arthritis in the bone. And I'm slowly realizing I can't do the things I wanted to do. And it hurts. And I'll ice it. And I'll lay upside down. I invert 3 minutes a day to pull my body back from doing this. You know, and it feels good. It feels great. You know, when many of us die of cancers, many of that type of thing, things are going to happen. And we live in a sin-cursed creation. That's the answer out there. When you visit people and make the crosses and stuff, and they're sitting there moaning and groaning and hate. Sometimes they may cry out, I hate God. You know, that type of thing. And you're looking at them like, God didn't put this on you. We live in a sin-cursed nation or a world. And that's the issue. Blame it on Adam. And thorns and thistles it brings forth. In Matthew chapter 27, you don't have to put there, what did they, in Matthew chapter 7, what did they plant it on the Lord Jesus Christ's head? A crown of thorns. He stood there being mocked and condemned as your Savior, bearing the crown of thorns, bearing your curse, even the curse of creation. Verse 19, Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Jesus goes out in Gethsemane and sweats. What did he sweat? Great drops of what? Blood. Christ takes the curse in that. The ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. He's talking about what is he talking about here? About the dust, your body. He's talking about your body. Your spirit is not dust, and it's not dirt. God forms Adam out of dust of the ground, or the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life and became a living soul. He hath a spirit, soul, and body. He made up of three things. The spirit and soul is the immaterial parts of you, but you have a body, and it's akin to the cursed creation. The curse is on this creation, and your body is a part of a material creation. It's going to die and just go back to dirt. Do you know why your body is constantly changing? You know, it's been said, and I believe this, that your body rejuvenates itself every 7 years. Y'all know about you get new cells. Every 7 heartbeats different. Every, you know, that type of thing. You know why that is? Everything, 7 years except your brain cells. Your brain cells don't get rejuvenated. And if your body wasn't constantly changing, you know what you would be, right? If it didn't constantly change, you'd be a stinking, rotten corpse right now. You would. And that's the way God put it. Your body has to constantly be changing to keep it from rotting. That's why you should preserve it. That's why you should, you can't preserve it. You don't want to drink decaf because it will preserve you. It'll embalm you. But the thing is you want to take care of yourself because it's changing. And if you didn't, your body would rot. It would rot away. And dust thou art, until dust thou shalt return. Man's mortality is assumed. You're going to go down. This body is going to go down. And I don't know if you ever thought about that or not. I haven't. But you have. That's why you get older. It seems like the process is slowing down, don't it? That type of thing. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Until Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Now, so far you talked about creation and how it's affecting it. That hasn't changed. We're part of that fallen nature right now. Our blood has been tainted. But when you trust Christ Jesus died for your sins, you've got a blood transfusion. You don't feel it now. You get a new body. His blood's going to be flowing to your veins, His glorious body. I posted on Facebook the other day and about the Lord promised a rainbow. And He said He promised not to flood the earth. The rainbow is the glorious. And I also posted the coat of many colors Joseph got. It's a picture of that rainbow. Coat of many colors. I said, which coat are you going to be wearing? And when you're in Christ, you're in that glorious body. And you're going to shine like a rainbow out there. Not the man-made rainbow. Not the pride flag rainbow. But God's glorious rainbow. And He's got seven colors in that, if you didn't know. Notice that verse very carefully that I'm sharing. Because that the verse demonstrates the institution of necessity of the death of the substitute for the sinner. The necessity and institution of the necessity of the death of a substitution for a sinner. That was a mouthful. Verse 21 is the original of the blood sacrifice in the Old Testament. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. If He had made coats of skin, where did He get skins from? Many say lamb. It wasn't a crocodile. It wasn't a rhino. Well, that's what, hang on, man. Keep that thought in thought for a second. He had to kill an animal. This is God. The Bible said the God clothed. So He had to kill an animal. An innocent, sinless animal had to die. And Adam and Eve had their coats, their covering, not fig leaves, in verse 7, to cover them, but the coats of an animal had to die. And something died for them to have the covering. We know that they took fig leaves, right? And they probably had to sew them every 3 days because you know what a leaf does. Withered away. But God did this. God Himself did something to remedy man's naked condition. And what He did, He took the coats of a skin, and no doubt it was lamb skins or sheep skins. Genesis 4:4, and Abel, and be turning to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at this right quick. In Genesis 4:4 says, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, he brought a little lamb. That's what he brought. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, but which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. How was it that Abel offered unto God a more sacrificial than Cain? How was it? Not only required it, it was by faith that Abel offered his sacrifice to God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. Therefore, you should know something. You should know that to be some communication, a doctrine to Abel in order for Abel to be able to bring a firstlings of the flock. He just didn't say, hey, Cain, you bring the fruit, and I bring the lamb. We'll have a party. They didn't just drum that up. So God, Abel, had to know what to bring. In other words, God Almighty had communicated, no doubt, through who? Adam and Eve. The doctrine, the information, what they had to bring. Listen, if you ever do something wrong and somebody give you the right information, are you going to do that wrong thing again? Probably not, unless you just rebellion. But chances are you're going to say, I'm not bringing them oysters to the potluck anymore. They asked me to bring meat. They asked me to bring a cow, whatever the case may be, and you're going to start doing the right thing. The information that Adam communicated with his sons was the right information that God told him to. God instituted the necessity of the death of a substitute, in the case of a lamb, in order to die for the sinner. And God himself dressed Adam and Eve. In order to do it, he killed the substitute. He stripped off the filthy fig leaves, self-righteousness. That's what she was looking for. When Adam and Eve covering up their sins, it's look what I did, I'm covering it up. It's self-righteousness, and he clothed them with a suit of his own making. You know, Isaiah chapter 61:10 says, He has clothed us with his own righteousness. You're clothed today with Christ's righteousness. God inaugurates a blood sacrifice, atonement, and it begins right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. He clothed them. He did it for them. He provided it through the death of a substitute. Back to Genesis chapter 3. Got a few more things before we close today. In the last section of verses 22 through 24, you see the separation. Adam and Eve put out of the garden. God confronts them, pronounced the curse, gives them a redemption through the blood sacrifice, and he sends them forth from the presence to wait for the promised seed to come. He did all that thing. Genesis 3, 21. 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and to know lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of the life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He was put out, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life. Notice God says, behold, the man has become one of what? That plural us, that is a veil reference to who? Godhead, the Trinity. There's four elements of that curse. Four elements I want you to think about. One. Pain in childbirth. Okay? Pain in childbirth. Remember, he told them. Told the Eve. Two, problems in the house. Three, difficulty with providing a living. Four is death. And there are four elements to the curse that he pronounced here. First thing, there is the thing on Eve, pain in childbirth. Then there's a problem in the home, the conflict where a man is going to have to rule over a woman. We looked at that last time. Women in here rebelled last week and are outside picketing right now, up and down the sidewalk. I'm just joking, guys. But that's what God said, right? Okay. Well, half of them are not here. one of them dropped him off and he don't have a ride home. But anyway, there's a problem at home, and the problem is a woman not, she don't like God told her that the man's going to rule over her. And what does most women do that they don't know the doctrine of the Bible? They rebel over it. Who are you to tell me? I don't care what your decision is. I'm going to do this. Okay? My wife told me not to pick on her no more. But anyway, next, the difficulty is earning a living and providing for a family. Verses 17 and 19 says that. It's not going to be easy, guy. You had it here. You had it made. Now you're going to have to go out and earn a living. Isn't that what we teach our kids? To earn a living, earn an honest, good living. Give an honest day's pay for, do an honest day work. You know, you just say, hey, this is, I don't expect anything more. I watch people on the account I'm at. It's just like, I've got to have this, and I've got to have that, and I'm listening to that, and I've been there for 22 years listening to all that stuff and watching people be catered to just to keep them quiet. And I'm like, you know what you really deserve? You need to deserve out here and be digging a ditch where you can really earn your money. And you say, whoa, I had it made here, and do the right things. But the thing is, you have to provide for a living. You have to provide for the family. And it's not going to be easy, Adam. Then finally, there's death. The curse passed on everyone. Death upon who? All. Death on all. The curse of death could be reversed. In verse 22, he says, let's put them out of the garden, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. That tree of life was a tree that could give eternal life, eternal physical life. In every passage you'll find it, it has to do with eternal life in the physical sense. Eating of the tree. It is used in Proverbs figuratively, and you need to understand in Revelation 2 and 22, there's a supernatural tree that gives life over there. But God says, let's get them out of here. We don't want them here. And he sends them out. And the one thing is, to not be able to die, but it's quite another to be able not to die. To live forever as a bond slave to that old nature, sin nature, is what God is seeking to prevent here. That would be horrible. You know, some of us is captive that way anyway. Knowing that you're in a sin-cursed body and you want to live forever. The blood transfusions that you see out there and people paying countless numbers of dollars to preserve their bodies forever. You know, there's some evil things going on out there. And there's a society that's promoting it. And I don't want to go there, but it's evil. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden. Remember, he was safe there, wasn't he, in the garden. Now he has to get out to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24. So he drove out man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. We'll pick up there next lesson about the cherubims a little bit and what they're doing. But the thing is, they're put out of the garden. Many of us might have been put out of our house when we was young. Some of us may never have forgotten about it, but you don't want that to happen to anybody else. You know, it's been some of you grew up in an age that you had to work. You know, no matter what. And some of you are still working. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I get out of bed and I feel like I got a purpose. And that gets me out of that bed. And it's not, and sometimes I feel like a robot, you know, here we go, another week. But you know, that's a purpose. Can you imagine not having a purpose? And Adam had a purpose after that. And I'm pretty sure he didn't want his kids to go through the same thing he's doing. So this is what you had to do. And it's from my understanding, that those cherubims, who was generations of Adam, a lot of them lived for what? You think they could go back and see what Adam was talking about? I believe they did. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. As we think about Adam and Eve and the cursed creation, Lord, we also know that the reason why the world is the way it is from the sin curse. And you, there's a remedy that you gave us and a solution and a proven way that we can understand that through the fall, you have brought us a redeemer that we're not only going to redeem us, we're going to redeem all creation. What a glorious day that's going to be, and a hope that we can all look forward to. But until then, as we sit here and we think about a lost creation, that we can share one thing, that you came to this earth, died, and buried, and rose again for our sins. And let the people be receptive to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank you once again for tuning in. Until next week, God bless you.